ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम भद्रं कर्णे विश्रुणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुपागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Just I wanted to read all the verses from the beginning once. Om Brahma Devanam Prathamas Sambhava Vishvasya Karta Bhuvanasya Gopta Sabrahma Vidyam Sarva Vidya Pratishtham Atharvaya Jeshtha Putraya Praha. Atharvani Yam Pravadeta Brahma Atharva Tam Purovacha Angire Brahma Vidyam Sa Bharadvajaya Satyavahaya Praha Bharadvajongirase Paravaram Shaunakohavai Mahashalaha Angirasam Vidhivadupasannapaprachha Kasminnu Bhagavo Vijnate Sarvamidam Vijnatam Bhavatiti. Tasmai Sahovacha Dve Vidye Veditavye Iti Dve Vidye Veditavye Iti Hasma Yade Brahma Vido Vadanti Parachaiva Paracha Tatra Para Rigvedo Yajurveda Sama Vedo Tharva Vedaha Siksha Kalpo Vyakaranam Niruttam Chando Jyotishamiti अथ परा यया तदक्षरमधिगम्यते ओके अंटिल नाउ इन फाइव मंत्रा वी हैव सीन फाइव मंत्रास द फर्स्ट टू मंत्रास द ग्रेटनेस ऑफ गुरु परंपरा द ग्रेटनेस ऑफ ब्रह्म विद्या इज डिस्कस्ड stating that Bhagavan himself is the beginning link of the lineage of teachers. And this knowledge should be pursued only with the help of the teacher. It should not be pursued independently. That fact also is indirectly hinted by presenting the teacher and this disciple. The third mantra, this introduces the Angiras, Rishi Angiras as the teacher and the Shaunaka as the disciple. And always the disciple approaches the teacher. The disciple who approaches the teacher must be a mature individual. As I said in the previous class, a wise person is the most mature individual. and who has the knowledge already. But for a person to become the most mature individual, thereby to have objectivity absolutely, to have the wisdom, to know the knowledge, have the knowledge, he must aspire for jnanam first. If a person does not aspire for knowledge at all, how can he attain jnanam? One must aspire for jnanam in order to have jnanam. Though the person who has the burning thirst for knowledge, the jignyasa bhaktaha alone, can approach a teacher asking for knowledge. And the shaunak, for that, a person must have lived his life properly as a proper householder. And that is meant, that is indirectly indicated by this expression, shaunakaha mahashalaha. And he approached the teacher properly, in proper way, vidhivat upasannaha. Having gone near the teacher, he asked for knowledge. And we saw the most interesting, the question he asked, the very important question. Kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati. I want you to memorize this question. Kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati. In Sanskritam, we have something called Sati Saptami. Sati Saptami. Sati Saptami. Sati Saptami is used when we want to avoid Yada and Tada. Now, Yada means when, Tada means then. The correlatives, when, then. Instead of using Yada and Tada, we can use Sati Saptami, that we will be learning in language class. It's what is used here. Kasmin nu vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati. By knowing which. What is that? By knowing which, one thing, by knowing which, all this becomes known as it were. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, we come across this verse. Shrutam Shrotavyam. What has been heard and what has to be heard, both become unnecessary. What has been heard has served its purpose. What should be heard will not be there anymore. After knowing one thing, everything else becomes known as it were. So this question was, Kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati. I'm sure you all have learned that question word very well. So now we can understand, it is the knowledge of the reality. It is the absolute reality. It is the ultimate truth. By knowing which, everything else becomes known as it were. And this absolute reality, the ultimate truth, is that which is the only truth of all the forms here, the entire universe, The only truth of space, only truth of time, only truth of air, the only truth of fire, the only truth of water, the only truth of earth, the only truth of all elementals, the only truth of all living beings, the only truth of all non-living things, the only truth of all actions, the only truth of all results of actions, the only truth of all experiences, the only truth of all paths of opposites, the only truth of all the natural laws which govern the results of actions, the only truth of every existence, every existent thing. Why is it truth? Because without that truth, without that reality, nothing can enjoy existence. Everything will be as good as non-existent without the presence of reality. It is the presence of reality, existence of reality itself is the blessing. Why it's a blessing? Because mere existence of reality lends existence to everything. Without doing any action, without doing anything, just by its mere presence, reality lends existence, lends life. That is why it is the reality. It is this reality which is not relative, it is absolute reality, the ultimate truth implied by the term Brahma. Nakaranta napumsakalinga shabdaha Brahma. So the teachers directly straight away started unfolding the nature of that reality in this sixth mantra. The fifth mantra is an important mantra. Why? That is where Shaunaka presents his question. Kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati. Even if we do not know to ask a question, when you study the Upanishad, we can understand how brilliant the student must have been to have such a question first of all, and to know ask such a question. We never know that we have to ask such questions. So he is asking that question. Instead of knowing so many things in the world, if I know one thing, by knowing one thing, if everything else becomes known as it were means, then why should I not ask for such knowledge? That's why the teacher who can answer such a question, who can tell, reveal, who can communicate the student that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were, and he is considered to be the guru. Even though by knowing the reality, everything else cannot become known. So you should not be mistaken. Pujya Swamiji always used to say, if you have physics knowledge, it will remove only physics ignorance. It will not remove chemistry ignorance, mathematics ignorance, language ignorance. Similarly, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of reality will remove only the ignorance of the reality. It will not remove your computer science ignorance. It will not ignorance of physics or mathematics. It will not remove the ignorance of anything else. But still, we understand knowledge of reality is the absolute knowledge, because it is this knowledge which alone can free, liberate human being from all his miseries for good. It's a liberating jnana. At the same time, by knowing this everything else becomes known as it were means knowledge of the what is there's only the reality. Other than this reality, whatever is matter. And that matter is mithya. Matter is mithya. Matter is of the nature of inertness. Matter is mithya. Matter does not have independent existence of its own at all. Therefore, matter is not at all considered to be a parallel reality. Matter is only looked up, is a mithya. Therefore, mithya knowledge of anything other than the reality is knowledge of mithya objects. So, knowledge of mithya objects cannot free one from bondage. And knowledge of the reality is, in fact, knowledge of, that's why by knowing the reality, everything else becomes known as it were means, because everything else is mithya. Satya jnanam is sarva jnanam. Knowledge of Satyam is the knowledge of everything. Because it's the only Satyam of all the mithya objects. Only truth which lends existence for all mithya objects. Therefore, knowledge of reality is as good as knowing everything else. Everything else is mithya. So therefore, kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati is a beautiful question, and the teacher must be extremely pleased with the student. He straight away, he starts unfolding the nature of reality in the following mantra. Let us read that mantra now. Let me break the mantra first. Mantra means let me break the words of the mantra. Yat. The first word you come across is yat. Yat is a relative pronoun, that which. Yat. Tad. The next word you come across is tad. First yat, then you come across tad. Tad is a third person singular pronoun, that. So, yat, tad. The third word you come across is adreshyam. Yat, tad, 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 adreshyam. Adreshyam means unseen. Unseen means imperceptible, invisible. Actually, in conventional language, adrishyam. Drishyam is the that which can be seen is drishyam. Perceptible is drishyam. Adrishyam means imperceptible, that which cannot be seen, that which cannot be perceived. Adrishyam, drishyam, adrishyam. But in adrishyam cannot be used in conventional language. Is only a Vedic expression. Chandasa prayogaha adreshyam is equal to adrishyam. Adrishyam is equal to invisible, imperceptible. Why? Drishyam. Drish is the root. Pashyati is the verb. And drishya is a potential passive participle used here. adrishyam. So drishyam, that which can be seen, perceptible. Adrishyam, that which cannot be seen. Adrishyam alone is given as adreshyam. Now here, this, that absolute reality, by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were, is imperceptible, is invisible. It is not an object of perception. Adreshyam, first word. So the first word, adreshyam, negates the reality being an object. Reality, the word, negates the reality being an object. When the expression says, adreshyam, adrishyam, imperceptible, that one word negates the reality being an object. So reality is not an object, not an object of perception. Therefore, it is said it is invisible. It cannot be seen, which means it cannot be perceived through any of the sense organs. Not only it cannot be seen through eyes, it cannot be perceived through any of the sense organs, which means reality is indriya agocharam. Adreshyam implies what? Indriya agocharam. It is not available for perception, sense perception. Adreshyam, imperceptible. So yat, tad, then adreshyam. Next to adreshyam, adreshyam is a third word. Adreshyam means adrishyam. Next word is agrahyam. 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 See, again grahyam. Agrahyam is a fourth word you come across. But the next description, the next word, which again, word which reveals the reality in terms of its given nature. The first word adrishyam, meaning adrishyam, meaning adrishyam, revealed the nature of reality, revealed the fact about the reality, that reality is not an object available for perception. Now, agrahyam, this word also reveals the nature of reality, that it is not an object. Grahyam is a potential passive participle again, which has come from, derived, which has been derived from the root grih. Grinnati means holds or grasps. And grahyam, which can be grasped, which can be held. Agrahya means which cannot be grasped, which cannot be grasped, which cannot be held. Agrahyam. It is not an object, not only which is not available for sense perception, it is not available for thought conception also. It is not something subtle which can be conceived mentally. It is not, it is inconceivable. Agrahyam. So adreshyam, imperceptible. Agrahyam, inconceivable. It cannot be grasped. It is not available for even thought conception. Agrahyam. Okay. Then agotram. Agotram. Gotram means belonging to a given family, a given clan, belonging to a given dynasty, belonging to something which has an origin. Agotram means absolute reality, by knowing which everything else becomes known, as it were, does not have any gotram, does not belong to any family, clan or dynasty, which means it has no origin at all. It has no origin. Agotram. So, adresham meaning adrishyam. Then, agrahyam. Now we say agotram. It has no origin, means it has no beginning, it has no cause. It has no gotram, means it has no cause, it has no origin, which means it has no cause. Anything which has a beginning must have its cause. It has no origin, it has no beginning, therefore it has no cause. Reality is uncaused. Then avarnam. Agotram avarnam. So agotram avarnam. Varnaha means color. Literally it means color. Avarnam means Varnaha na santi yasya. It has no colors, means it has no gunas. It has no attributes. It is attributeless. Absolute reality does not have any attributes, any qualities, any properties, any properties. Avarnaha, avarnam, adresham, agrahyam, agotram, avarnam. It is attributeless. Reality has no attributes, no properties, no qualities. It is nirgunam, nirgunam, gunarahitam. There's no properties. So agrahyam, adresham, adresham, agrahyam, avarnam. So because there's no qualities, no attributes, this reality cannot be described. Avarnam, there's no attributes, no properties. Therefore, it cannot be described. So, agrahyam also implies that not only reality is not an object of knowledge, not only it is imperceptible, inconceivable, it is not an object of action also. It is not an object which can be accomplished as a result of an action. That is indicated by this expression agrahyam. Not an object of knowledge, not an object of action. It has no attributes. It cannot be described. Avarnam. Then achakshushrotram. So yat tad adresham agrahyam agotram avarnam achakshushrotram. Be careful, I'm adding this thing. I'm showing you how this achakshushrotram. Chakshuhu means eye, Shrotram means ear. Achakshu Shrotram means reality, that which is devoid of eye and ear. Means it does, reality does not have sense organs. Not only reality is not an object of sense organs, reality does not have sense organs. Reality does not have eyes, does not have ears, does not have nose, does not have tongue, does not have any of the sense powers, which means reality does not have any of these powers. Reality doesn't have. Therefore, Achakshu Shrotram. Chakshuhu Shrotram stand for all the sense powers. Reality doesn't have any of the sense organs. Then tadu apani padam. Pani means hands. Pani stands for hands. Padam stand for feet. Apani padam is a compound word. Pani padau yasya na santi. Pani padau yasya na santi. Tad apani padam, that which does not have hands and legs. Which means reality does not have hands and legs. Is devoid of hands and legs means it is formless. Reality is formless. Apani padam. So yat tad adreshyam agrahyam agotram avarnam achakshushrotram tad apani padam. So the first line, the words given to unfold the nature of reality are the words which distinguish the reality from the rest of the world, which distinguish the reality from everything else. See, first, reality has to be distinguished from everything else. Then what is that reality which is distinct, which has been distinguished from everything else? How can you understand that those words distinguish the reality from everything else? Because adreshyam, that expression says, reality is imperceptible means reality is not anything perceptible. Therefore, if anything and everything which is perceptible, reality is not anything which is perceptible. It's called neti neti vachanaihi, isn't it? Through negation, reality is distinguished. All that is perceived, anything which is perceptible, is negated as abrahma, non-reality. Anything and everything which is perceptible is non-reality, not the reality. Which why we understand, first line does not help us what the reality is. First line, all the words in the first line help us understand what reality is not. This is how Upanishad teaches. When Upanishad unfolds the words of Upanishads serve as means of knowledge means Upanishads do not directly reveal the reality. They first make us understand what the reality is not. By making us understand what the reality is not first, thereby they help us arrive at what the reality is. important lesson. The Upanishads do not directly reveal the reality. When they serve as means of knowledge, they help us understand what reality is not first. This helping us understand what reality is not is called method of negation. What reality is not is method of negation. So adreshyam, adrishyam, adreshyam, agrahyam, avarnam, apani, achakshushrotram, apanipadam, that a in every word stands for na, negative particle called nang tatpurusha samasaha. Na means not. So anything which is perceptible is not reality. Anything which is conceivable is not the reality. Anything which is accomplished as a result of an action is not reality. Anything which has an origin, which has a gotram, is not reality. Anything which has a cause is not the reality. Anything which has attributes is not the reality. Anything which has properties is not the reality. Anything which has hands and legs is not the reality. Anything which has limbs is not the reality. Anything which has a form is not the reality. Therefore, the words in the first line, the first sentence of mantra, Siddha Mantra, help us understand what reality is not definitely. So we can shift our attention from anything perceptible, anything conceivable, anything which has form, anything which has limbs, anything which has, in anything which are sense organs. We can shift attention. They're all abrahma, non-reality. If reality, then everything in the world, all forms, gross forms, subtle forms, all forms, all objects which constitute the whole cosmos will get negated as abrahma, not reality, including time. Time gets negated as non-reality. Why? Time is object of knowledge. Adresham, agrahyam, these two words make it very clear. No object of knowledge is reality. Reality is not an object of knowledge. Therefore, time can be negated as non-reality because time is object of knowledge. Time is not perceptible through sense organs, but time is conceivable. Now, not only time, then what space can be negated as non-reality because space is object of knowledge. What about all other forms and names denoting those forms? What about the functions associated with the forms? They're all perceptible. And reality is adresham, imperceptible. Therefore, all the forms, names and functions existing within the realm of time and space can be negated as non-reality. Therefore, the entire objective universe can be negated as non-Brahma, non-reality. After having arrived at the reality, we will say there's nothing which is not Brahma here. Everything here is Brahma, we'll say. That is true. But now, Brahman is not anything, even though everything is Brahma. Brahma, absolute reality, implied by the term Brahma, is not anything, not time, not space, not elements, not the elementals, not the living beings, not the non-living things, not the limbed ones, not the those with or without limbs, not those which are perceptible, not which are graspable, not those which are conceivable, nothing. Not those which have properties, which have attributes, which are describable. So reality is not anything means the first line negates the entire objective universe as non-reality, which means a Brahman is not anything which is there as part of the universe. But later on, we understand the fact the whole universe is Brahma, but Brahman is not anything in the world. Is it clear? So first verse, this method, I wanted to understand how Upanishads teach. Upanishads make us understand what the reality is not first, before helping us arrive at what the reality is. Upanishads teach us the fact what the reality is not first. So the first line, all the words are in the first line, negate what Brahman is not. They state authentically what reality is not. Therefore, they help us save our time, so that we need not waste our time searching for Brahman in the objective universe. We will understand this amazing fact. There is nothing other than Brahma. Everything that is here is only Brahma. Will understand. To understand the fact that everything is Brahma, we need to understand what Brahman is. So, our effort, we don't need to waste our time, energy in searching for Brahman in the objective universe, because Brahman is not an object available for perception or description or conception. Okay, if Brahman is not anything in the objective universe, the first sentence has negated means, it's called method of negation. Using the method of negation, Upanishads have helped us what Brahman is not. Understand the fact what Brahman is not. If Brahman is not anything, then what is Brahman? For that question, the next sentence presents the answer. See that now. Nityam. Let me read the first sentence again. Yat tad adreshyam agrahyam agotram avarnam achakshushrotram tad apanipadam. Next sentence. Nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshmam tad avyayam. Nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshmam tad avyayam. Yad bhutayonim. Yad bhutayonim paripashyanti dhiraha. Paripashyanti dhiraha. So such absolute reality implied by the term Brahman is not anything which is within the realm of the objective universe, exists in the realm of time and space. Then what is the reality? Upanishad says, ధీరా పరిపశ్యంతి. ధీరా ఇస్ అ ప్లూరల్ ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్, ప్లూరల్ వర్డ్. ధీర లిటరలీ మీన్స్ వైస్ పర్సన్, ద బ్రేవ్ పర్సన్, కరేజియస్ పర్సన్, బోల్డ్ పర్సన్. బోల్డ్, నాట్ బాల్డ్, బోల్డ్, కరేజియస్, బ్రేవ్. బట్ హియర్ బ్రేవ్ కరేజియస్ పర్సన్ అకార్డింగ్ టు శాస్త్రం ఈస్ ది వైస్ పర్సన్. A wise person alone is considered to be a brave, courageous person. An ignorant person, even if he is bold, courageous and brave, his courage is not absolute courage. His courage is not, his bravery is not absolute bravery. Wise person alone is said to be absolutely brave and courageous. Therefore, dhiraha, dhirau, dhiraha. Wise men, wise people, dhiraha, paripashyanti. Wise people see the truth always, everywhere. Wise people see the truth always, everywhere. Pari pashyanti, see, pari pashyanti. They always, wise people see the truth always, everywhere, means they never lose sight of the truth. They never lose sight of the truth. What is the truth that wise people do not lose sight of? It is bhu, we say first, nityam. So nityam is all objective case. Absolute reality is nityam. నిత్యః ఆత్మా, నిత్యం బ్రహ్మ. నిత్యం బ్రహ్మ, నిత్యః ఆత్మా. నిత్యః మీన్స్ ఇటర్నల్. ఇటర్నల్ మీన్స్ టైమ్లెస్. టైమ్లెస్ మీన్స్ బిగినింగ్లెస్ అండ్ చేంజ్లెస్. One word tells so much. Reality is eternal. Reality is timeless. Reality has no beginning and end. If it has no beginning, means it has no cause. It has no cause, means it has no dependence. For reality is absolutely independent. Why it is absolutely independent? Because it has no cause. It has no cause because it doesn't have a beginning. Because it doesn't have a beginning, it has no end. Therefore, it is always. Is always means it has no time limitation. There's never a time. It is not subject to time limitation. It is timeless because it is, therefore it is eternal. And it's endless, therefore it's also changeless. Nityah. Okay, this is the nature of reality. So the word nityaha again It reveals the reality in terms of its nature of timelessness. Simultaneously, it negates what reality is not. So everything in the objective universe, including time and space, are subject to time. Time is subject to time. Space is subject to time. All the forms, names and functions, gross and subtle, perceptible and imperceptible, conceivable and inconceivable, everything is subject to time. Therefore, the entire objective universe is negated again as non-reality, because nothing which is not subject to time in this objective universe. It reveals the reality in terms of the word nityam. It negates what reality is not. That it negates the entire objective universe as non-reality. Then it reveals reality in terms of its nature of timelessness. We'll see again. So I'm going to give you every word meaning first. Nityam. Next is vibhum. Vibhu. Vividham bhati iti vibhuhu. Yesterday somewhere I said, explained the same meaning, same word in Narayanam class or Bhagavad Gita class, somewhere I explained. Vibhu is a ukarantaha pullingaha vibhu shabdaha. Vibhuhu in feminine form, vibha. Mahalakshmi is called Vibha. Mahavishnu is called Vibhuhu. Vividham bhati iti Vibhuhu. The only reality which alone shines in manifold, innumerable, countless forms. The formless reality alone, which alone shines in innumerable, countless forms, is said to be Vibhuhu. Vividham bhati. Like one light alone shines in the form of many opaque things. Many, many opaque things are reflections of light which enjoy existence, which shine in the presence of the light. Similarly, the only reality which alone shines in the form of innumerable countless forms is said to be Vibhuhu. So diversely manifested. Vibhuhu, Vibhum. Then another word comes, Sarvagatam. Sarvatra gatam. Sarvatra gachati sarvagaha. Sarvatra gatam sarvagatam. That which has reached everywhere means that which is all pervasive. There is no place, no space where the reality is not. Means all pervasive. You say all pervasive, what does it mean? It pervades even the space. Within the realm of the objective universe, space is all pervasive. Within the space, all other elements and the elements enjoy their accommodation. All the objects, all elements, air, fire, water, earth, then all the elementals enjoy their existence, have their accommodation in space. space is the subtlest of the elements, and space is the most pervasive of everything. Space is all pervasive. Space is all accommodative. But here, space does not pervade one thing. The all-pervasive space cannot, does not pervade one thing. That one thing which does not pervade, which is not pervaded by space, pervades the space. Space is pervaded by the reality. Therefore, reality is accommodative, accommodates all accommodative space. Reality is all pervasive. Therefore, the Sarvagatam implies the nature of reality being all pervasiveness. Nityam, the word Nityam reveals timelessness of reality. Sarvagatam reveals the spatial limitlessness of the reality. Nityam, Sarvagatam. These two words are used in almost all the Upanishads everywhere. Nityam, Sarvagatam. Nityam, Sarvagatam. You can memorize. If you are thorough with this, whether you read Brihadaranyakam, any Upanishad you read, these two words will be important words. Why? The word Nityam reveals timelessness being the nature of reality. Sarvagatam reveals the spatial limitlessness being the nature of reality. Time-wise limitless, spatially limitless. Limitlessness in terms of time, limitlessness in terms of space, revealed by these two words, Nitya and Sarvagatam. Now, this word Sarvagatam also, what now? Everything is subject to spatial limitation. Therefore, the whole world except the space, everything is subject to spatial limitation. Therefore, it negates everything else. The entire objective universe is negated as non-reality because everything is subject to spatial limitation. Whereas reality is of the nature of limitlessness in terms of space. It distinguishes. So Nityam, so we don't need to waste our time and energy in searching for reality, anything which is subject to spatial limitation. Anything which is spatially limited is not the reality. It is something mithya which comes and goes, which is we are not interested in. We are interested in the absolute reality. And that absolute reality is that which is not anything which is subject to time, is not anything which is subject to spatially limited. Therefore, reality is time-wise limitless, spatially limitless. The only reality is shining in the form of everything means the reality is free from object limitation also. Vibhu indicates the reality being object-wise limitless. Why? Only reality shines in the form of innumerable countless forms, names and functions. Vividham bhati means no object is, there's no object which is different from reality. Very interesting. Please notice. Nityam indicates limitlessness in terms of space. Sarvagatam implies limitlessness in terms of space, time and space. Now, Vibhu implies limitlessness in terms of objects. Object limitation also is not there for reality. Why? all the off forms which shine are nothing but reality. They're non-different from reality. They do not have independent existence outside of reality. Therefore, reality alone is shining in the form of all innumerable forms. Therefore, vibhuhu, nityaha vibhuhu sarvagataha. These three words reveal the nature of reality being limitlessness in terms of time, space and object-wise limitlessness. Then, susukshmam. Susukshmam. See, please remember, when I say reality is spatially limitless, now everything here is subject to spatial limitation, therefore nothing in this world is reality, is not anything in this world. We can negate it, subject to time limit, spatial limitation, reality is not this. That's all. Then we need not waste our time there, energy there, searching for reality. So sukshmam means subtle. Even there are subtle objects which are, there are objects which are perceptible through sense organs. There are subtler objects which are imperceptible through sense organs, but which are perceptible, available for thought perception. But here, reality is not an object at all. Means, reality is not simply subtle, subtler, subtlest. It is susukshmam, means it is the subtlest of everything. There's nothing which is subtler than the reality. Reality is the most abstract. It is of the nature of most abstractness, subtleness, the subtlest. There's nothing which is subtler than the reality. I said the subtlest of the elements is space, and space is all pervasive. And reality pervades even space. The reality is the subtlest. Nothing subtler than the reality. Therefore, susukshmam, sukshmatamam. Nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshmam tad avyayam. Tad, that reality. What? Avyayam. After tad, again another word comes, avyayam. Vyayaha means declension, expenditure, change, decline. Avyayaha means indeclinable, unchangeable, changeless. Avyayaha means changeless. It doesn't increase in size, doesn't decrease in its quantity. There's no increase or decrease on the part of the reality. It's always of the same nature, doesn't undergo any changes. It is of the nature of changelessness. This word avyayaha also is very interesting word. Why? Because it also negates, it states what Brahman is not. Everything in this universe is subject to time, subject to, means everything comes and goes. Everything undergoes changes. Coming and going is itself is a change. Whereas reality is of the nature of changelessness. It is a changeless one, avyayaha. For anything which is subject to change, reality is not anything which is subject to change. It is ever changeless. For avyayaha. Yad bhuta yonim. Last word. Bhuta yonihi. Yonihi means cause. Bhuta yonihi means cause of all the beings. The cause of all the beings means the truth of all the beings, the source of all the beings. The cause means the truth. The truth means the source. The source means that without which no being can exist at all independently. That without which no being can exist at all independently. It is bhuta yonihi, bhuta yonim. So what is reality now? Nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshvam avyayam bhuta yonim nityaha vibhuhu sarvagataha susukshmaha avyayaha bhuta yonihi. Now objective case, make it objective case. Nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshvam tad avyayam yad bhuta yonim dhiraha paripashyanti. Wise people always see that reality. Everywhere, always they see the reality. Now, where do they see? They see everywhere. When they see, they say always. How do they see? As everything. For them to be able to see always everywhere as everything, they must have first recognized this truth. So here it implies, and this reality is in fact is not an object, means it is, then it is distinct. What is that which is distinct from the object? What is that which is different from the object? The subject. So what is the subject? That which is different and distinct from the object of knowledge is the subject of knowledge, subject of perception. So the perceiver, the knower is different from the subject, object. Therefore, what this, who the knower is, who the perceiver is, in fact, the knower, perceiver, and I are one and the same. I and the perceiver, I and the knower are one and the same. You see, I, the perceiver, what is that which is not perceptible? What is that which is not objectifiable? The subject. Therefore, Atma is, the reality is not an object of knowledge means, then you must see what subject of knowledge is, who the perceiver is. Then you can say, perceiver is I, therefore what am I, the perceiver. We see this reality can be arrived at in terms of its nature revealed by these words. Because we do not arrive at the reality, we are pursue the knowledge of reality independently. Shastram gives us this clue. Now we can understand how reality is time-wise limitless, how it is nitya, how it is spatially limitless, how reality alone is in the form of everything, how reality is avyayaha, changeless, how reality is bhuta yonihi, that we need to understand. We have seen the literal meanings. Therefore, the Upanishad mantra itself has negated that reality is not an object perceptible or conceivable or describable. If it is not an object, it then what the subject is then? The subject of knowledge, subject of perception, the thinker, perceiver, knower must be the reality. Therefore, who the knower is, who the perceiver is, what the thinker is. We have to say the thinker with reference to mind, I am the thinker. With reference to sense organs, I am the perceiver. With reference to the word speech, I am the. Describer, therefore, I am, I must be the truth. If I am the truth, then what am I? Who am I? So, now, when we arrive at the reality, as the source of I, please be careful. Please listen to me. When we, now next class, we are going to analyze this. When we arrive at the reality as this truth of I, as a source of I, we should see whether the meanings of these words tally with the reality which we arrived at as the truth of I. Okay? The nature of reality revealed by these words of the Upanishad must tally with nature of reality which we arrive at through analysis. Is it clear? The nature of reality revealed by these words should tally with the nature of reality, the reality which we arrive at through analysis, then we can say we have arrived at the reality. We wait to do it next class. Is it all right? We have only seen the word meanings of the mantra. We wait to analyze the meaning of this mantra. What is analysis? How we are going to analyze the nature of reality? And then how to understand the meaning revealed by these words, the meaning of these words, the nature of reality revealed by these words should tally with the reality which we arrive at through analysis. That is called what? That is what is arriving at the reality in terms of its nature. We'll explain next class. Let us see the mantra again. Before coming to next class, see that you all memorize this mantra, the most important mantra of the Taittri Mundaka Upanishad. Yattadadreshyamagrahyam agotramavarnamachakshushrotram tadapanipadam nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshvam tadavyayam yadbhutayonim paripashyanti dhiraha.
Dominic, you can ask a question?
Yeah.
What does pari do, the prefix pari to pashyati?
Yeah,
pashyanti.
That's why I said pari, I said everywhere, always. Remember, I said that?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They never lose sight of the vision, lose sight of the truth.
And we said susukshmam.
Yeah. I said sukshmam itself means subtle. The sukshmam means subtlest. There's nothing subtler than the reality, I said. I said we have understood the literal meanings now. We have to see, when we next class we have to do, and we have to analyze. And then we analyze and we arrive at the reality. And the reality which we arrive at through analysis, we have to see that the meaning of these words tally with what we arrive at through analysis. Is it clear? So the next time, that's called unfoldment, isn't it? Really understanding the mere word means different from? This is the unfoldment of the mantra, meaning unfoldment of the meanings of these words will be complete only when we understand how what we arrive at through analysis tallies with what we understand through the what is revealed by these words. Okay, I'll see you in 15 minutes.